This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Diana Jordan, divorce consultant. Hello, Diana.
Hello, Jackie.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me in today and the day after Divorce Day. Very appropriate.
Well, yes, this is quite interesting, isn't it? And also you say that this is Divorce Week.
Indeed.
So why is that then?
It's supposed to be the week where solicitors get more inquiries than any other week of the year because people have had enough after Christmas and just can't do it anymore.
So they've been under each other's feet, you mean?
With all the relatives from all over the country. All the relatives and all the cracks that were already there in their relationship suddenly open up into great big crevices. And there's no escape over Christmas, and the pack of cards all comes tumbling down.
Oh dear, so that's when solicitors get lots of inquiries then during this week?
Yes, the first, supposed to be the first working Monday after Christmas.
Oh dear, it's quite depressing really, isn't it?
And the following week, depends which way you look at it. Usually people have been unhappy in their relationships for quite some time. Divorce isn't usually a sort of two-minute snap decision. People have often been thinking about it for a long time. It's a scary thing to do.
Yes, so, and also summer holidays, I've heard that's another time.
That is indeed another breaking point.
Yeah, so what's your background then before you became a divorce consultant? What were you doing?
I was a family law solicitor, specialising in children law.
Yes, and how did you make the change from that to becoming a divorce consultant?
Well, when I stopped working as a solicitor, I actually trained as a life coach. And I loved the life coaching and decided I would like to coach clients going through divorce to help them to get to a better place.
Why divorce? Why focus on divorce?
Because when you train as a life coach, they tell you you have to have a niche.
Oh, okay.
So divorce was obviously something I knew about and I thought I would specialise in that and it would be lovely helping people to a better place.
Right.
But my clients had other ideas and they didn't want coaching. They just wanted help getting through our awful legal process. So I changed my name from a divorce coach to a divorce consultant and I now work with people going through the legal process.
And how long have you been doing that?
About 10 years now.
Oh, right. Okay. And now, of course, you've just published a new book, A Better Way of Dealing with Divorce. So what made you write this book?
Because divorce is so difficult for people. It's a hugely emotional time. I think people don't realise how traumatic it is, probably because it's so common these days. We all know of somebody getting divorced.
Well, I think it's one in three marriages, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Ends up in divorce.
Yes. Yes. So until it actually happens to us, we don't really know the trauma that people go through. And I think a lot of people still feel there's quite a stigma to it, so they don't publicise it necessarily and bottle up a lot of the emotions. It's also very difficult practically and financially for them. And then they have to deal with that dreadful legal process too. So I wanted to write a little handbook, a little guidebook to help them through the process.
Right, and how did you find writing a book? Was it your first book you'd ever written?
It was. I never intended to write a book. But I started it and didn't get very far. And then some friends offered me their house in the south of France for 3 weeks.
How lovely.
So I went there and when you're somewhere else, you get up every morning and you have your breakfast and you wash up and then you look around and there really isn't much else to do. Whereas at home, there's always things to distract you.
Indeed, yes.
At work. So the book got mostly written by the time I came back and the last chapter wasn't finished, and it did take a few more months actually to get that finished. So going away was definitely the answer.
Yes, and what about the case studies? Because I see there's lots of case studies in the book. How did you find those?
Oh, I advertised here and there for people, for adults whose parents had divorced, rather, when they were young, because I thought in the book it's no good me preaching at people, and anyway, I'm not a child psychologist, I'm a lawyer, and I thought case studies would be more effective to show parents the effects, the long-term effects of divorce on their children. And so I gathered stories from people I knew, people that answered advertisements, people from networking.
Right, right.
And
it certainly makes the book come alive to read the case studies. And what about publishing it then? Did you self-publish or did you find a publisher?
I published through Matador, which is self-publishing, but they do it all for you.
So. And was it an easy process? Well, okay.
No.
The
right here. When I got to the point of having written it, I realised that was the easy part.
Oh, right.
And
okay. Enough
getting,
said.
Getting it to publication was a huge learning curve.
Yes. Okay. And what would you say are the most common reasons that people get divorced? Is it
probably
because there's another person in
well,
infidelity?
If there's another person, you would have to ask why there's another person.
Mm-hmm.
What comes before that is usually a breakdown in communication. And people's lives are so stressed these days. Once they've got children, if they've both got a full-time job, I think it's amazing, actually, the number of marriages that survive rather than those that don't, because people just don't have the time to invest in their relationship. And if they don't work out a good way of communicating with each other, it's very easy for it to come off the rails.
Of course, yes. And are you married yourself?
I am, yes.
Yes. How long have you been married?
Not that long.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was, as a young divorce solicitor, I saw the pain, the huge pain of so many of my clients, and vowed that would never happen to me. I wasn't sure that I could cope with it, really.
Sure, sure.
So I left it until later in life when I was very sure I was doing the right thing.
Oh, well, good for you. That's good to, hear.
So, yes, I'm happily married and I've never been through a divorce.
Anyway, getting back to your book, it's a very, very easy to read book, very, very well presented, very easy to follow. And it was quite interesting that in Lisa and Toby's story, that Lisa had accepted far less than she would have been entitled to, and not really enough for her future needs. And she only accepted what Tony offered her because she wrongly thought that's all she'd be entitled to. So the implication there is that people should be a little more savvy about what is on offer.
Absolutely. They need to be informed. And I keep saying information is power in separation and divorce. People make all sorts of assumptions, and I have tried to bust a few myths about divorce during the course of the book. Some people are badly informed and therefore make bad decisions for that reason. Other people are properly and well informed, but decide they can't face what needs to be done in order to get what they are fully entitled to. And so they give up for that reason.
Right, and it's quite interesting section in the book, Busting Common Divorce Myths, because one of them is, I can't get a divorce because my spouse won't agree to one. So what would your advice be to somebody who says that?
You can always get a divorce.
Right.
It's just how you do it. And unfortunately, the most common way is still by presenting a behaviour based on the other party's unreasonable behaviour, which is, in my view, a very unreasonable way of having to get a divorce. But that's all we've got at the moment for a lot of people. Not everyone can wait until they've been separated for 2 years for various reasons. And certainly if it's 2 years with the consent of the other person, therefore if they won't agree, you've got no alternative but to petition on the basis of their unreasonable behaviour. And of course that just makes things worse because they're already clearly unhappy about it.
Yes,
and
indeed.
When they get a petition like that, they're even more unhappy. So it makes the divorce harder and worse.
Yes, and would you say that it's easier to get a divorce these days than, say, 15 years ago? Or have things moved along, or is it just as difficult as...
Sadly not.
Right.
It's just the same.
Right, okay.
No, we haven't progressed at all, unfortunately. And it's time we caught up with the rest of Europe and the world.
Yes, yes. And so looking at these other myths, I'll wait 2 years to get a cheaper, quickie divorce. What is the truth about that one?
Well, what is the truth about a quickie divorce? and a cheaper divorce? A divorce costs the same for everybody. Everybody has to pay the same court fee, which is an astronomic £550 at the moment. And it is no quicker for anybody, although some courts may be quicker than others. Most of them are very slow. I think what the press mean when they report a quickie divorce is the celebrity divorces, because they're the only ones that they actually follow and go to court for. But when people are divorced, when they get their decree nisi, which is the first stage of their divorce, they're all read out in open court by a judge. So anybody can attend that hearing. Nobody does, unless it's a celebrity divorce and all the press turn up. So a long list of names is read out by the judge, and of course reading out a name takes only a few seconds. So the press report that this celebrity couple have had their quickie divorce, but they're not divorced at all. They've got to wait 6 weeks and a day after that any event.
Yes, yes.
So the whole thing is misinformation by the press.
Interesting, very interesting. And of course, while we're talking about the press, they always highlight all these incredible divorce settlements, don't they? These women end up with billions of pounds. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Unfortunately, a lot of our divorce law is based on such cases because these are the only people who can afford to appeal and make the new law. And it often doesn't work very well for the majority of people who, of course, have nothing like that wealth to be divided between them.
Of course, yes, yes. And the other thing, another aspect is also that the husband has hidden his money away. That was another big case that was out in the media recently. He squirreled away his funds. That was another one, wasn't it?
Yes, and it used to be a pretty common thing. But hopefully, since this case, these two wealthy women have done a huge service for other women who couldn't afford to take their husbands back to court. And the law has changed in that respect now, in that normally a financial order is final when it's made and there's no changing it. But because of this case, people can go back to court now if they find evidence of their husband spending a lot more money than he said in the divorce proceedings that he had. A wife can now take him back to court, and it will cost him very, very dearly. So hopefully these men are now being warned by their solicitors that it's really not worth doing this anymore, and I think it will be, hopefully it will be, a lot less common than it was.
So who is actually you aiming at with this book?
The book is aimed at parents, because of my background as a children lawyer, and because parents are usually very worried about the effects of their separation on their children.
Yes, this is obviously the very difficult part of divorce, isn't it? What happens to the children?
Yes, and even if it's clear between the parents what happens to the children, they are always upset by it. But it's like anything else in life. It's not so much what happens to us, but how we handle it. And if the divorce is handled well by the parents, the children won't suffer any long-term damage. It's the conflict between parents that is the worst possible thing for children, because obviously they're stuck in the middle. They don't really know what's going on, but they know it's pretty awful. And yes, my book gives some help for parents as to how to avoid this situation and what they can do to reassure their children and help them through it.
Yes, so one of your suggestions is creating a parenting plan. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I like to sit down where possible with both parents and help them make a parenting plan, rather than them just hobble on from crisis to crisis. There are so many things that they don't necessarily think about. There's, you know, the obvious ones, of course, who the children are going to live with, or whether their time is going to be divided between both parents, and what time they're going to spend with the other parent if they're mainly with one. Those are the obvious things, but then they might think about Christmas and what's going to happen on Christmas and birthdays. But there's so many other things, and especially if parents find it difficult to communicate with each other, and if that's the reason their marriage broke down in the first place, it's unlikely that their communication is going to be magically improved in a divorce situation. So actually getting them to sit down and make a written plan, so they know what they're going to do in all sorts of eventualities, really helps them to feel more confident about moving forward. And they can both tell the children the same things because they know how it's going to be.
Because custody is one of the big issues, isn't it?
It is. And lots of parents these days want joint custody, meaning that they want the children for equal time.
Yes. And is that very common now, joint custody?
It's hard to know how common it is, because people will work that out for themselves. It can only really work with parents who are still getting on quite well. If they're not, it's just dreadful for the children.
Sure, yeah.
In any event, it depends on each child whether it's a good idea for them or not. Some children will adapt to it. For others, changing twice a week or maybe even less is just not really manageable for them.
Sure. Yeah, and of course, geographical distance between the parents as well is another consideration, I guess.
Yes. I mean, if the parents are close together, you know, if they live in the next street so a child can rush round and, you know, pick up their homework from the other parent when they've left it there by mistake, then that's obviously a lot easier than when one parent has to leap in the car and keep rushing things backwards and forwards when they're forgotten.
Yes, because you hear all these cases about one parent taking the children off to France or something and not coming back. You have all those situations.
I wouldn't deal with those situations myself. That requires a specialist.
Sure, but I'm just saying that's one of the, you know, it's an extreme case sometimes that happens.
It is an extreme case, and although we hear about them, fortunately they're not that common, and it's terribly traumatic for a child. So hopefully most parents do want the best for their children and aren't going to do something like that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. And of course, there's also dealing with the house and the contents. Who's going to have what? That's always a bit of tricky, isn't it?
It is, especially if there's not that much to go around. It can be very tricky, and people do need advice on that and help to work things out in the best way for the whole family. And that's the problem, of course, when people go to individual solicitors. Each solicitor is under a duty to fight for the best result for their own client. But that doesn't necessarily make for a good result for the whole family overall.
No, of course, of course. So what would be your advice then to our listeners, anyone that's thinking of a divorce or has started the initial stages? Do you have any advice for them?
Yes, to be as informed as they possibly can. And I wrote my book to be a hopefully small, slim volume that isn't off-putting to people, because most of the books out there are great big tomes written by lawyers that most people have difficulty understanding.
Not very user-friendly, are they?
Not very user-friendly for somebody whose brain is traumatised by the whole thing. So hopefully my book is a short, slim guide that people can start with to understand how the whole process works and where they might need to go from there.
Okay, and how can people get hold of a copy?
It's on my website, dealingwithdivorce.co.uk, and if they want an e-book, they can download one of those from Amazon.
Right, thank you very much for coming on the show, Diana.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.